Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. I am solo hosting today's podcast. It's going to be another quick one, 10, 12 minutes tops. So I actually recorded a different open for this. I recorded this podcast on Monday and was going to post it on Wednesday. But then I started watching tonight's games and some big news happened. I'm sure you already know it already, but Gordon Hayward went down with a very gruesome ankle injury. And because of his Indiana ties, he went to a high school not too far from me. I went to Brownsburg High School. I went to North Central High School. I remember watching him at Butler. He was my coach 1 year at Butler basketball camp, all that stuff. So I just wanted to say something real quick about that because it's really sad when one of the NBA stars goes down in like the first 10 minutes of the season. My thoughts and prayer with him that he will come back, a speedy recovery. Hopefully, you know, Paul George is able to do it. We've seen it before. So, knock on wood, I hope long-term Gordon Hayward is okay because, you know, even besides the basketball, he's got a family. He's got two kids, I believe. So, you know, it's just sad to see a guy that who just – luckily, just got a big contract, so he doesn't have to worry about money, but go down this early in the season, especially when his team was kind of in maybe not NBA Finals, NBA Championship contention, but was definitely in contention to win the Eastern Conference. So it's going to shake up his league for sure, and it kind of put a damper on the first day of the season when I was really excited for that. Going to try to power through the rest of this podcast. I actually recorded this next section you're going to hear after the ad break on Monday. Talked about the Nets game coming up. And gave a couple of my bold season predictions because you should be listening to this podcast on the Wednesday before the first Pacer game against the Nets tonight at 7 p.m. Obviously, if not, it's still going to be relevant because you're hopefully listening to this the first week of the season. So my predictions are not going to just disappear the first 3 days. So we're going to get to that part of the show after this quick commercial break. The presenting sponsor of the Locked On Pacers podcast is SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the number one ticket aggregating site around. I love SeatGeek for basically three reasons. The first one is the mobile experience is awesome. You can buy tickets on your phone as you're going to the game. I've done that before. It's great. Two is the ability of the fees built into the price. You don't get surprised at checkout by anything. The third one is this deal score thing. So actually looking at tickets right now, for if you're listening to this podcast on a Wednesday for tonight's game against Brooklyn, you can get your best deal on a ticket, which is a deal score of 73, which is pretty good. You can pay $64 for those tickets. That's a pretty good price for some center court seats on the first game of the season, which is usually the most hyped up game. Obviously, the first home game is a big hype game. And use the promo code LOMBA to get a $20 discount off your first purchase. Now back to the rest of today's show. All right. Welcome back in the Locked On Pacers podcast. The Pacers open their season this Wednesday. Tonight, listening to this podcast on a Wednesday against the Brooklyn Nets at 7 p.m. Throughout the season, Tony and I are going to be doing podcasts like this one. We're going to format them kind of the same, just kind of a preview of the upcoming game. Might have a guest, might not have a guest, just depends on the week. So what we're going to do is we're going to do key players for each team and a couple, you know, tidbits information about each team, what's going on, what matchup's going to be important. So the first X factor I have for the Pacers, in this game at least, is Victor Oladipo. Oladipo's first game in the blue and gold, huge statement game for him. Will he come out? He looked, you know, in the prison, looked like he was going 110%, playing Westbrook style, speed all over the place. He looked like an elite athlete on the court. He's got to prove himself tonight. You know, obviously he'll have 82 games to really, you know, build up his stats, but he'll be able to kind of take control of this team with a good first game. You know, he's going to have an exploitation on defense. He's going to be either guarded by D'Angelo Russell or Jeremy Lin. Neither of them are great defenders, so he's going to be able to exploit that matchup. And, you know, it's going to see how he flows with some of the other players because he's going to be the focal point of this offense, at least on the top of the key. You know, he's going to have to feed Turner the ball sometimes. He's going to have to make plays. He's the most dynamic player on the Pacers offense, at least starting lineup. when it comes to ability to score at the rim and three-point shot. Obviously, Turner might be the best player on the starting lineup, but Oladipo's the most dynamic, and he'll probably have the ball most of the time, so he's the one to watch for this first game. Now, on the flip side, when you go to the Nets, the X factor, I think, is probably going to be D'Angelo Russell. First game, new team, new everything for him. You know, he struggled a little bit in Los Angeles. He had issues in the locker room, all that stuff. So he gets a new team, a new start, and he's going to get a lot of minutes. He's going to be the guy. You know what I mean? He probably will be guarded by a combination of Oladipo, Stevenson off the bench, maybe, and Collison. If he gets Collison on him, he should exploit that matchup. He's probably going to, because Collison is the weakest defender on the Pacers. But still, Russell has to prove himself. You know, he's an interesting player to watch because he's extremely talented. He was a number two pick just two seasons ago. He's extremely talented, just hasn't lived up to that potential yet. And interesting to see if he can do it. Brooklyn kind of took on a huge contract with Timothy Mozgov to get some future asset, and they believe Russell could be that future asset. You know, they took on that $72 million deal to get him. So they took a risk to get Russell, and we're going to see if it pays off. You know, both teams, obviously, I think, will struggle with a little bit of flow just because there's whole new lineups and everything. I mean, the Pacers, like I've said, are bringing in three new starters, all of them with our guards or forwards, guys who control the game and dribble the ball a lot. And the Nets, I think, are bringing in four new starters, I guess. I mean, their entire lineup with Crabb, Mozgov, Carroll, and Russell are all new. And Lin was on the team last year, but he played limited games. So it's a whole new team. But it's interesting to watch. A thing to watch with the Pacers particularly is going to be how often Turner and really the team shoots that three. So what I mean is the Pacers want to push the pace, right? They want to go faster. They want to shoot threes. They want to become the more modern NBA team. But they have a tendency when they're getting down in games, and at least the past couple seasons, to just revert back to that smash mouth team from 2013 that had Roy Hibbert, David West, and Paul George. That was the reverse style. But you wonder, without Paul George, is the offense going to open up a little bit more opportunities for everybody? Because without that superstar needing the ball all the time, the ball is going to flow around a little quicker. Oladipo is going to have to be the jump start to that quick pace offense. He is incredibly fast. He's the most athletic player on this team. But Collison's going to have some say in that too, as well as Stevenson. Both guys are going to have to push the pace on rebounds. Interesting to see if Miles Turner, if he gets a rebound, just takes the ball up or throws it to a guard to bring it up. To see how they push that pace. You know, what players are given the ability to be ball handlers versus ones that have to kind of be a secondary role. Like Turner and Young will probably not be ball handlers, but if Bogdanović gets a rebound, maybe he pushes it. You know, Stevenson probably will push it if he gets a rebound. Collison will push it if he gets a rebound. Those type of things. With the Nets on the other side, it's three-point shooting. The Nets, under Kenny Atkinson, have basically become a three-point kind of modern NBA team. They just want to shoot a ton of threes. They want to be like the Rockets, you know, a poor man's version of the Rockets. So interesting to see if the Pacers can stop that. The Pacers were a pretty poor three-point defensive team last year. They weren't good at guarding the three. So it'll be interesting to see if they can stop, you know, the bombs that are going to be from Allen Crabbe, from Jeremy Lin, from Jones. These guys are going to have free will to shoot threes whenever they want. I bet even Mozgov takes a three from the game. So interesting to see what they can do there. Now, moving on to the last part of this show, I'm going to give three bold predictions for the Pacers season. I've been working on these for a few weeks now, just deciding what I really think is going to be the highlights of the season's the, you know, unpredictable predictions. So I'm going to save my best one for last, just because, you know, I'm hosting this podcast, I can do whatever I want. So my first bold prediction is either Turner or Oladipo scores over 20 points. I'm not going to go into too big of an explanation here because I've talked about Oladipo for a while on today's show. So basically, I think one of these guys breaks 20 points because of shot volume, because of the three-point shots that we'll be taking, or because they improve. You know, on Oladipo's case, he's improves his shooting percentage. It's Turner's case, he gets 15 to 17 shots instead of 10 a game. My second bold prediction is the team goes into full tank mode in game 40. They have a pretty brutal start to their season. I know this is kind of a Debbie Downer prediction, but they have a pretty brutal start to the season. The team is lacking a little bit of depth without Glenn Robinson. It's going to be a hard first few weeks for this team. I mean, the first month is brutal. They are probably going to end up at the halfway mark, somewhere between 10 and 15 wins. And I think at that point, the Pacers start to look at trading Thaddeus Young, Bojan Bogdanović, and Darren Collison. Get rid of those contracts. Maybe even Al Jefferson because he's an expiring. You make some move for some picks. Maybe you see if there's some players that you can get. But I think they're probably 15 and 25, 15 and 26 at the halfway mark. And that means they'll be in full tank mode because they'll want to get one of those top three picks to get one of those superstars like Marvin Bagley or Michael Porter. And then my last prediction is Lance Stevenson ends up playing 25 minutes a game and averaging close to 10 points a game. I'm not going to be for certain that he'll average a 10 points a game, but I think he's going to play a huge role in this team. I think he's going to get a lot of minutes. I think he's going to be a fan favorite. I think they're going to be pressed to play him late in the season when they go into a tank mode. Just let Stevenson do what he wants, play out there all he wants, kind of get the fan base going because, you know what, the fans love him. You know, my other co-host, Tony East, is not the biggest fan of Lance Stevenson, but, you know, I think Lance gets 25 minutes a game, and I think he can score 10 points a game. You know, he's not going to shoot probably above 30% from three. If he shot even 33%, I'd be surprised. But he's going to shoot a lot because he's Lance, takes a lot of shots, he's going to get a lot of breakaway plays because he's always taking chances on defense and stuff like that. So Lance will get some opportunities to score some points. He'll make some steals. He'll make some exciting plays. He'll probably do some Lance things like Lance does. And ultimately, you know, it won't matter probably. The Pacers will probably be in a tank mode. But, you know, that's why you have Lance. You know, at the beginning of the offseason, there was the Lance at point guard predict or thought. And if he was there, I was basically in a full tank mode. I know Herb Simon doesn't want to tank. But at some point, if you're not in the playoff race, you got to get one of those top picks because there's no way to get good in this league without getting a superstar. And Marvin Bagley or Michael Porter couldn't be a superstar. So that's it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. It was only about 10 minutes long, so pretty quick one, pretty easy one. I want to know if you're enjoying these types of shows. You can tweet us at Locked On Pacers. You can tweet me personally at FriedmanAdam5. That's the best way to reach me. You know, if you tweet at me, you DM me, whatever, I will respond to you probably right away because I like to know what makes our listeners listen to this podcast, what they like to listen, what they like to hear. Do they like just me? Do they like Tony? Like us together? You know, we want to do what's best for the fans out there. That's all I got for today's podcast. Have a great rest of your day and enjoy the first Pacers game of the regular season.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.